Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, the way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. And what follows, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ezekiel 8. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ezekiel 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of its imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And then he brought me through the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has watched over us and our dear children in this day, and that has brought us within the walls of thy house of prayer by renewal. And may it be a house of prayer indeed. Thou knowest how that each boy and girl, each youth, and each older one have come up to thy house. May it not have only been form and duty. May it have been with a desire, with a sigh and cry for thy special presence, with a prayer to receive a blessing. And when in this evening once more we are called upon to dwell at the foot Mount Sinai, to hear what thou hast to say unto us, Thou knowest most perfectly how it has been all the former times, how we have returned to our dwelling. Ah, may there have begging souls that have asked thee for a special blessing for the last time, and that it may be used in the way of preparation when toward the end of this week in a special way we are called to remember the death of thy dear son, and that is for guilty and hell-worthy people that have learned at the foot of Mount Sinai, dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination for souls that have learned with all their efforts that they are guilty still. Ah, Lord, may it then be used that many souls with the burden of their sin may be brought to the foot of the cross, and where it may please thee to take all that handwriting against and contrary to us, and that it may be blotted out, and that it may be nailed to the cross. Lord, may it please thee, when the last time when we are gathered around the law, that it may be used for conviction and uncovering, that in this evening it may be used for conversion, but also in the further leadings, that it may be as a schoolmaster to bring guilty souls to the cross of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be used in the way of sanctification, for thy children to examine themselves, and then they have many reasons to be ashamed, and that they need thee more and more, thy dear Son, in his threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Bless thy word in the church from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Also the catechism classes when tomorrow evening we hope to close, then we may thank thee that hitherto that thou wast spared the instructors and the students. There have been years when it was different. Then once more we hope to gather round about thy holy word. Oh, do have a special favor unto the upcoming generations, where we live in a time of so many temptations. Satan has but a short time. May they be given to seek and find thee early. Wilt thou bless the confession of faith class, bless the house visitations, do bless the family circles, help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Do help and remember the school board when they hope to meet in this week. Wilt thou continue to grant traveling mercies? Do bless and remember the instructors. May thy word be accompanied by the work of thy Holy Spirit for the eternal welfare, also the temporal welfare of our dear children. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, our denomination. Oh, do continue to remember and uphold the persecuted church, all those in prison, those that are tortured, that they deny thee not. May their eyes be upon the King of the church, but, O Lord, thou knowest that thou can hold such deep and mysterious ways with thy church, and that there can be many a times that it seems that thou hast forsaken and that thou hast forgotten them, but it cannot be, and it shall not be. Wilt thou remember the beloved for the Father's sake, also at war? May that veil be hastily removed. We commend unto thee our mission field, thy servants, the team. Wilt thou remember Bible translators, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth? Then the labors are manifold, and the labors are few. We commend unto thee our country, our province, our town. May it please thee to grant a returning unto thee, while it can yet and while it may yet. Wilt thou grant repentance unto thy church from worldly and evil ways, that we may be more a separate people, more the salt and the light of the earth. Lord, by renewal, we remember the many temporal needs, the daughter in a faraway place, where hitherto thou wast spared the brittle thread of her life, and now they are awaiting upon thee for healing, for strengthening. Wilt thou uphold father and mother, the family circle in these trying ways? Wilt thou grant more tokens of thy special favor? But above all things, that this solemn calling may come out of thy right hand, and that it may be sanctified. Wilt thou remember all those in our midst who stand in need of healing, of strengthening? Wilt thou grant courage for the way? May their eyes be upon thee, impress upon all their hearts their unworthiness, that we have no right, but thou hast said in thy word, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And then there can be much focus on the second, and that we forget about the third. Lord, we commend unto thee a little daughter who in this week hopes to remember her second birthday. We commend her unto thee for body, for mind and soul, together with her parents' trying circumstances. A word has been planned that within 2 weeks that they hope to travel to a far country for surgery. May their eyes be upon thee, we humbly ask thee. May it prosper in thy hand, and that the callings that thee may be used for the saving of souls. Then we commend unto thee all widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery, where those places remain so empty, and many times where it seems that they only become emptier. May those empty places be filled with thy own presence. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones, those that may go in and out. Remember our Bethesda, the staff, and all the residents who are in this week. Also an old father and an old mother, they hope to commemorate their 61st wedding anniversary. Then thou wast surely spared them together for many years. They have become old. Eternity cannot be so far away. And to that end, above all things, do save their never-dying souls. We commend unto thee all the crosses, the burdens. Bless the family circles. May thy word have a special central place, and may love abound. Lord, continue to provide for the daily bread, for the family circles. Thou also knowest the concerns there can be in that respect. May their eyes be upon thee, and also given to consider that thou grantest so much more than so many people upon the face of the earth. We now humbly ask thee, Lord, for thy help. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above? May thy word go forth with power divine, and may it truly be blessed when once more we come at the foot of Mount Sinai, Ea Lord. Then we cannot leave the same as we have come. May it be a savor of life unto life. We have nothing to plead upon. We are but a company of poor sinners. But may our eyes be upon thee, and may it please thee to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. O, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know. Then shall I keep thy law with zealous fervor. And what follows? Psalter 428, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Beloved congregation, we have read together a portion out of the prophecy of Ezekiel. He was a prophet that was carried away to Babylon with the second captivity in the year 597. And in chapter 8, we have heard it. Then the elders of Judah, who were also in captivity, they have come to the prophet Ezekiel with a desire to inquire, because history tells us that at that time that there were enemies surrounding King Nebuchadnezzar that became a little stronger, which would perhaps hinder Nebuchadnezzar from conquering the promised land and destroying the temple. And then perhaps those elders thought, prophet, you are looking at everything too darkly. We have to also look at the brighter side. And then when the elders have come before the prophet, then suddenly the prophet went into a daze, maybe still his eyes open, and then we have heard it that, as it were, that the Lord had taken with his hand the prophet by his hair, and that he has taken him in the way of a vision to the temple of Jerusalem. Perhaps at the beginning those elders thought that he had a stroke or another bodily ailment, but undoubtedly they have realized that Ezekiel was given to see a vision. And then the Lord has brought the prophet to the temple of Jerusalem. And there he was given to see different matters, was given to see the sins and the abominations of the children of Judah. There was an image of jealousy. That was an image in the place of the Lord. And then the Lord has said unto the prophet, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt see greater abomination. And then there was a hole in the wall with a door. And then the prophet, what was he given to see? In this chapter, there is not spoken of young people, but even older ones, as 70 ancient men. And they had made pictures on the wall of all unclean beasts. And then there is spoken of the image, the chamber of imagery, O congregation, what a thoughts and what an imaginations there can be in our hearts, and all those evil beasts. Then we have further heard greater abominations. There was those women of Tumas, and then there were 25 men with their backs toward the Lord that have worshipped the sun. Then Ezekiel, each time he was given to see greater abomination. And now, congregation, young and old, then once more, then we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Then we have already heard much at Mount Sinai. And how has it now been? That is a personal question for each and every one of us. Ah, we have heard that precious introduction. And are there souls where that is given a little hope that you have said, Ah, Lord, then I have a hope that I may belong to that people that has been led out of the house of bondage with different desires and different longings and a desire to become holier and holier. And how has it now been? Oh, I hope not like a Galileo that has cared for none of these things, or even as a Felix, that you have said, Lord, go thy way this time. I am still so young, and I am so busy in the family circle, and those thoughts make me so sad. Does go thy way this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. And we do not know, congregation, whether we shall still be living when the Lord may grant it that we come to this portion of the Heidelberg Catechism by renewal. Oh, then in this evening, then we could call Lord's Day 44. That is a very precious Lord's Day, further uncovering, but also precious separation and instruction for the people of God. Then we could call Lord's Day 44 as a preparation for Good Friday. And may it please the Lord by His Spirit to use it to that end, that we are given to see that we can never, never be saved by the law, and that with our guilt, souls may be given to flee to Mount Calvary with the burden of their sin. And then those precious words, Colossians 2 verse 14, to blot out the handwriting that was against us, contrary to us, nailing it to the cross. Lord's Day 44, the question and answers 113, 114, and 115. Question 113. What doth the 10th commandment require of us? Answer, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Question 114. But can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? Answer, no. But even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience, yet so that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Question 115. Why will God then have the 10 commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? Answer, first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Lord's Day 44 speaks of the conclusion of the law with three thoughts. First, the strict requirement. Secondly, the sincere resolution. And thirdly, the God-glorifying exercises. The conclusion of the law. The strict requirement in 113. The sincere resolution, 114. And the God-glorifying exercises in 115. Thus first, the strict requirement. And then the 10th commandment that speaks of that we may not covet does not mean we may not desire the living day of living desires for many things which we need to go through this life in congregation. It is a great blessing and privilege when we may have those desires, because there are people that are so discouraged where everything looks so black that they come in a hole and where they are afraid they shall never come out, where they do not even have a desire to live. But oh, when we come to that place, then it is needful that we open God's Word. We find similar cases in God's Word, and that we tell the Lord everything, and that we ask Him to help and to grant a little courage. Thus, that 10th commandment does not mean that we may not desire even what our neighbor has, because there is trading, buying and selling, but we may describe to covet thus, that we desire what appears very desirable, but at the expense of our neighbor, not for the right purpose, and not for God's glory and the saving of our soul. Thus then we understand that this commandment is very broad. And then of course, boys and girls, when it speaks of our ass and ox, was written in the time of Moses, and then with an ass they used it for transportation, and an ox to plow. Thus in our day we would say a car, a truck, a tractor can be broadened out. We can covet so much. And now when the answer that the instructor gives, then it does not only speak of the 10th commandment, But then it speaks of broader things, of more commandments. Because we have heard of the former commandments, that it also implies coveting, desiring what belongs to our neighbor. And then the words of the commandments, they speak especially of our deeds, of our words, although the instructors have made it very plain that it also concerns our thoughts. But now in the 10th commandment, then the instructors, they speak especially of the heart. What that the 10th commandment require of us, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts. Thus then the instructors in that last commandment, then they are especially pointing to our hearts, what lives within, hidden for man, but an open book to the Lord, and that the Lord requires and that concerns, because the instructors are given to relate also to the other commandments. When we think of coveting, taking to ourself what belongs to the Lord, think of the 4th commandment, that we do not give the Lord all 24 hours, but maybe only part, that we think 1 and 7, that is too much to give for the service of the Lord, and that we desecrate the Sabbath day in many different ways. When we think of the 6th commandment, stealing, then what an application that the instructors give. But now the instructors, they do not only speak in the negative, but they speak also in the positive, what is required. And then 3 times the instructors use the word all. And that is for further uncovering. But that at all times, not only when we come to church, when we study our Bible, family worship, but at all times, thus that includes our work, our school work, family circle in society, wherever we are, all times, all circumstances, that we are given to worship the Lord. Think of that little Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, then we read, boys and girls, that he ministered to the Lord. And then that little Samuel was doing little tasks for Eli in the tabernacle. But that at all times, we hate all sin. It's not only some sins, and the one is more inclined to this sin, another one to this sin. We read in Hebrews 12 of the sin that does so easily beset us. Thus the instructors, at all times, we hate all sin with our whole heart, and delight in all righteousness. Thus then our instructors with the 10th commandment, they are not only given to speak of the fruits, but they are given to speak of the root of the tree, that the root needs to be good. Do you hear, congregation? the necessity of a new heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, that in beginning, that people, we hope to hear it, they have only a small beginning, but when it may be lively and right, then it is in their heart, because they are not slaves, they have become handmaidens and servants who were given to serve the Lord with delight. Because young people, the service of the Lord is a good service. Must never think when we are converted we may not do anything. We may not sin. But an unconverted may not sin either. But that the service of the Lord is such a good service, and when they may be in their element, that it is their desire, think of Psalm 119, verse 32, then the psalmist has said that I will run in the way of thy commandments when the Lord enlargeth my heart. And now in the context of thankfulness, then concerning all times, all sin, delight in all righteousness, then the Lord has a people. How necessary, how precious. Christ is in his threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. Our second thought, the sincere resolution. And then there is ask. But can those who are converted, at the end of coming to Mount Sinai, then we read of that clear difference and separation. But can those who are converted to God, has that not taken place, congregation? Has the Lord now converted us? And the instructors have given a few marks, but that at all times we hate all sin, because that people learns the exceeding sinfulness of sin. But with their whole heart, not half a heart, not a divided heart, not halting upon two opinions, although that people has many bitter things to write against himself, the same psalmist of Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust, quicken me according to thy word, but that new man to hate all sin with her whole heart and delight in all righteousness. Thus the instructor in this Lord's Day does not ask the unconverted. That has already been asked at the beginning of our catechism in Lord's Day number 2, whether man can keep that law perfectly, and then the answer that by nature I am prone to hate God and my neighbor. I have become a self-seeker. Two kinds of people, unconverted and converted, not a third. And in this evening, boys and girls, young people and older ones, we belong to one of the two. And which group do we belong to? All my unconverted fellow travelers, may it please the Lord, by his almighty power and grace, that the preaching of the law, that it may be an arrow where you have to confess, Lord, my life is not a life that at all times I hate sin. With my whole heart, it is true. I still have impressions and convictions, I hope so. But I cannot say what the instructor, I do not delight in all righteousness. I am a lover of self. I am a sinner, but the Lord, there's nothing too wonderful. For the Lord, he has promised to bless the preaching of the law to that end. Do we not read in John 16, the verses 8 and 9, when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then we find our life in the Beatitudes. Then we find something of our life also in this Lord's Day. But now what speaks of God's people, whether they can keep that law perfectly. And then the answer, no. But even the holiest men, who are they? Think of Enoch and Noah. It is specifically mentioned that they walked with God. And for the children of people, the children of God, the closer life with his word, at the throne of grace, the more that they are in the presence of the great king, those are the holiest ones, and they are given to experience most their unholiness. Because from that king shines his glory and his luster, and that shows what an unholy people they are. And we have many examples. Think of Abram, called the friend of God. David, the man after God's heart. John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, that speaks of sanctification, have only a small beginning of this obedience. And is there now a period? Because also God's people, they can speak Orthodox, Reformed, sound, can even be with the statement that they excuse themselves, justify themselves. Sanctification is only in part, but what is now needful also in the way of sanctification, each time by renewal, that godly sorrow over sin, a profound impression, their sins, that have nailed the Savior to the cross. But now there is a separation, and that separates the precious from the vile. Our first point, that was especially spoken to the Pharisee, and also the rich young ruler. What a confession that rich young ruler had. And what did Jesus now do? Did he lay hands upon that ruler and says, "Ruler, what you tell me from your life, the Lord must have began that good work, because otherwise you would not have such a strict life. Thus do not have so many fears, only believe." It's not what Jesus said. He has mentioned the commandments 5 through 9. And when the rich young ruler says, "From my youth have I kept all these things," who would dare to say it? Of course, there was also blindness. Then Christ has come to the 10th commandment. of that coveting, sell everything that you have. And he went away sad. But now this next question and answer that concerns the temporal believer. And now that answer that separates, but that is also grants a clear mark of grace that describes the true people of God. And that second part of the answer, congregation, lay now your hearts beside it. We all know that we are sinners, great sinners, right? But now the instructors, they give such a sound and such a biblical answer for examination and for courage. Yet so, that with a sincere resolution, they begin to live. They have only a beginning. Are there souls in my midst that are troubled with those things? There are times that they cannot deny that is their life. When they may live that close life, they may be in their element. When God may be glorified, when many of their fellow men, when they may be drawn with a holy desire to live according to his word, but they have to lament a small beginning. And then many times the question can be, Lord, seems sometime that the beginning is so small. There are times, they know of different times, that it is such a vehement desire. But then they are given to ask, oh, think of Rebecca. When she was expecting those twin boys, then they struggled so within her. And what did she do? She went to inquire of the Lord. That is a mark of grace. Oh, a beginning. That can be the question for seeking souls. But of course, we may not rest in that beginning, because people that desire to live according to all God's commandment with all our heart, and with that sincere resolution that does not pay our debt and our guilt. But now what a precious explanation that with a sincere resolution, we have heard that word sincere before. Do you remember where? In Lord's Day 33, what is the mortification of the old man? It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. The quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. It's necessary to know, let there be no resting outside of a knowledge of that precious mediator, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. And that is repeated in different words in answer 114, so that with a sincere revolution, they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. Let us lay our heart beside that answer. How is it now with our hearts, boys and girls? Has that now become our desire? to never sin against the Lord anymore. And not only to escape hell, because no one wants to go to hell, but with God's true people, then it does not only go to escape punishment. We have heard that from Lord's Day number 5. To escape punishment and to be received into favor. Our third thought, the God glorifying exercises, let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 8 and 9. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there a statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, the stanzas 1, 8 and 9.
Thank you.
the conclusion of the law. The strict requirement, the sincere resolution, and now thirdly, the God-glorifying exercises. And then we read in question 115, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, as since no man in this life can keep them? The question is not whether the law should be strictly preached. We have the example of the prophets. We have the example of John the Baptist with lawbreakers. Matthew 3 verse 10. And may that strike home concerning also the 10th commandment, the axe also is laid at the tree. Therefore every tree which beareth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Boys and girls, you can picture it. A tree, maybe with a circle, an X, maybe even an axe beside it. And then it is clear that the tree shall soon be chopped down. That is what we need to learn. Thus, it is not the question whether the law should be strictly preached, but since no man in this life can keep that law perfectly, why should it then so strictly be preached? And then the instructors, they have given special reasons. Can also be the danger that we become over-discouraged. It's possible that when we have gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, that there have been people home so discouraged and where it seems so hopeless that you have heard how guilty you are and unconverted. Thus, what is the purpose of even going to church, listening to the law? Because it must not be for me to be converted. Where is that written in the Bible? It's not written. We read that seekers, that they shall become finders. But oh, think of a Cain. After he has murdered his brother, that he has said, mine iniquity is greater than I could bear, and he has fled from the Lord. But now the instructors, and in short, then different reasons that all our lifetime, and that is in the way of gratitude, we may learn more and more. The instructors have used that expression more often. And in this answer, we find that word more 5 times. People of God, what an instruction. How often we so easily excuse ourselves. Sanctification is in part no perfection, but the instructors have stated in the life of a child, a true child, more and more to know our sinful nature. It is the mark of the true work. Zephaniah 3, verse 12. I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Romans 7. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I do not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? My flesh dwelleth no good things, but also, verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inner man. And then we read, to know our sinful nature, and then the second, we shall close with a second thought. There is more written concerning prayer, the grace of the Holy Spirit, and for the true child of God, that we become more and more conformable to the image of God. Tell, the instructors did not say if, but tell. That is a sure word. There shall come a time that the Lord takes his child home, that there comes an end to the strife and to the tribulation, that they are delivered from self, from the flesh, from the devil, and from the world. And then they shall receive their heart's desire to be forever in the presence of the Lord, to sing his praises through him whose presence goes before us. But now to close, and what a fitting word that is for the last Passion Week. Also, when we have dwelt for many times at Mount Sinai, and then it is needful also the 10th commandment, that we are uncovered so deeply that we learn no fruit from this tree forever. From my side, it is forever lost. I am not only a sinner, but a great sinner. And that we hear the thunder of Mount Sinai, Galatians 3, verse 13, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law. And that as a guilty sinner with the burden of sin against all God's commandment, that we are drawn, that we are driven, and that we go, as I read in Numbers 35, with that man, with that avenger behind him, to the city of refuge, to there find safety. May the Lord grant it in this week that such sinners, such beggars, that they may receive a place, that they may come from Mount Sinai, and that they may come to Mount Calvary with the burden of sin upon their back at the foot of the cross, and there be given to behold Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There to be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, then perhaps he hears Saul, but is that now for me? And shall I not be sent away? Then I would say, oh, we have much precious instruction. Think of John 6, verse 37. All that the Father hath given me will come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What precious examples we have in the scripture. Oh, souls, burdened souls, do then as in Esther. As I read in Esther 4, verse 16, so I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. The Lord has a people. Rather to perish at the feet of the king than in the world. And for the church, because we find in this answer the more earnest in seeking, that is for the first time, but also by renewal. And I read in 2 Peter 1 verse 10 for the church, to make their calling and election sure, to come to the cross of Calvary, to be further instructed concerning that precious and full sacrifice, concerning the cross words. But then the instructors have added, and righteousness in Christ, concerning sanctification, to need that precious mediator, to be administered out of his fullness, and to receive grace for grace in the way of sanctification for the eyes of the church, to be upon him to that end. May the prayers be multiplied, and may the Lord grant in this week a special day of commemoration, and that there may be souls for whom it may become Good Friday indeed, and in the way of sanctification, to be more a praying and a begging people. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, for one more time, we have dwelt at the foot of Sinai, and now we are ready to leave thy house. And then we do well that we examine our hearts, each and every one, how we have left thy house the former times, and how it shall be in this evening. Ah, Lord, leave us not cold, listless, and lukewarm. May it please thee to begin that good work where thou hast not begun, and where thou hast begun, to grant us further leadings. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over the mothers in the home, daytime and night watches, at work, at school, on the way, our students studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou place a fiery wall round about them. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Wilt thou gather us together tomorrow evening for the catechism closing. Grant some simple words to speak and bring us together and thy house to remember the death of thy dear Son, our Lord. Remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. May we be bound more and more together, bound at thy throne of grace. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day, yet a few words to speak. May we be given to often to pause and to consider all the precious things which thou hast left amongst us and our children. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 446, the stanzas 1 and 2. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me and what follows. Tomorrow evening, we hope to come together for the closing of the catechism season. And then everyone is welcome, also grandparents. And then for the catechism students, they shall sit on this corner of the church. There shall be signs for the grades. And then the parents with the children, the family circles, they sit elsewhere. And may also the parents sit at the front. It's always nice when the children are also closer by. And then, of course, then everyone, all the females, they must have a head covering. Psalter 446, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.